Welcome, everyone. Thank you for waiting. Our second guest is about 2 minutes out, so we're going to go ahead and start. My name is Lear. I've already done my whole spiel, but cell phones on silent, please. Restrooms are right downstairs or in the art department, but each floor has some. Thank you so much for joining us for Career Conversations today. Today we have editors. We have Mark. I'm going to let him introduce himself and tell everyone what he's been doing and how he got there. So I think first we'll go with the first question of what path have you taken to where you are today? And then if we could watch your clips.
Sure.
It's like the best sales job is just pressing play.
My name is Mark Panic. I have a company called Don't Panic. I do mostly post-production with a marketing focus. So anything that kind of sells a product or a service. TV show, product, service, movie, that sort of thing. I've been in business for about 20 years now. I lived in LA for 17, and I've been in San Diego for about 3.
Excellent. I'm so sorry. I was checking on the record. Did you already say how?
How's it worked? Is it working? We're good.
We're good. Where you went to school and if you had any internships and how you gained your knowledge.
I went to school in Santa Barbara. That's where Lear and I met. Film studies major. In college, I did an internship for Andrew Davis, which is he directed The Fugitive. That was like his big movie. He's also the only like company in Santa Barbara, so you didn't really have many choices. And then I kind of worked with a couple people down when I finally moved down to LA to get experience. And then I just got a job and started paying bills and being an adult and stuff like that.
At your company presently, do you take interns? Do you take high school interns, college interns?
No interns.
Good to know. So now we'll go ahead and show the clip. Let's make sure I still have it up. Do you want to talk about what we're about to see?
No, it's just it's like a general sales reel that I show people so that I don't have to explain what I do. I can just press play, like I said.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's the first one.
Yeah.
Very liberating style wise.
Excellent name.
It wasn't my choice.
It all worked out. What's your favorite? You have so many different types of material. What's your favorite thing to work on?
Just not a specific project, just like type. I've been doing a lot of like graphic design now. I like graphic design. It's fun. It's different. It's not my training or my background, but people seem to like it and they ask for it, so I guess that's a good sign.
Do you want to show the other?
No.
Okay. No problem. So you work with a lot of freelancers. Do you have to schedule everyone yourself? Do you have a group that you work with? How does that all work out, and what kind of hours do freelancers usually work?
They usually work whenever they can. You know, if there's a job, then you're going to be working. It's basically just me. My company is basically just me. But when a project gets big, I scale up. And then when the project is over, then scale back down again. Because otherwise people would just be sitting around with nothing to do.
Barbara? Hello, welcome. Welcome, Barbara. We just started. This is Barbara. So we're only on question 2. This is your cohort, Mark. Nice to meet you. So we've just started with the path you've taken to where you are today, the various different jobs one can have with your training and studies. If you'd like to. Okay. Or if you want to sit for a bit, we can work. Like, where'd you go to school? What kind of different jobs have you had before Disney and where you currently work?
Yes, I went to USC Film School and studied the undergrad production program. And you have an opportunity to learn any field within or any discipline within production there. I realized I like the element where you, production is very, you have to work with a lot of different people. And I like the side of it where you get to sit by yourself in a dark room, which is unusual for production. So when I got out of school, I worked as a PA. It was a lot of intensive manual labor for not a lot of money. It's a misogynistic industry, as perhaps everyone's heard. It was especially bad in the 90s. I started my career in the late 90s, and it was just like the Wild West. No one was protected. Both my parents worked in animation, so when I got a chance to be an assistant editor in animation, I jumped on it. And so what I do is animatics, and now I do color. Animatics are very niche field that you just have to learn on the job. Nobody teaches it. So because I just did an interview with USC, with the student association, and they're like, how do you get into the business? That's the most important question. I'm like, nepotism. It's, or you know somebody. And everybody says that to you coming up, like, you have to know somebody. It's not what you do, it's who you know. It's 100% true. I don't know if you agree, but... And for me, I had my family in the business. I think as you get older and you establish your work ethic and what you can do, and you can rely more on your skills. But in the beginning, it's who you know. You're working with people for long hours. They want to make sure you're cool because it's such a drag to work with someone who's a downer. So then I was at Klasky Chupa, which did the Rugrats and a lot of other Nickelodeon shows. I was at Fox. I worked on the Cleveland Show. And a lot of other little things in between. And then Warner Brothers and now Disney.
Great. And what do you work on for Disney?
I work on DuckTales.
Awesome. Excellent. And at Disney, do you take interns, like college interns or high school interns?
Yes, I've seen at least college interns. And then some of them get, you know, they end up getting jobs. So I think it's a great way to get into Disney. It's definitely like once you're in Disney, they want to keep you. So they you're vetted basically, you know, they want to know that you're in it for the long haul because they invest in you and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I don't know about I'm assuming actually Jasmine, who I work with, I believe she might've started in high school. She was very young when she got her foot in the door. So.
And is there, like, on film, in the, like, movies, there's, like, first assistant, second assistant. Do you have that as well? Do you have assistants to help you, or is it just you?
We do have an assistant. She does more of the technical stuff, and it seems like it's, a lot of our assistants are older. I think... my generation, I was probably at the very tail end of it, started in film and moved to digital. So some of the people who started, you know, 10 or 20 years before me started in film, and it's, nobody works in film anymore. It's all digital. And some people just did not make that transition. So, we have an assistant, and then there's like within production, like not in the post side, there's people that help get us things. So
thank you. The only other question I believe we've had is freelance life versus in-house. I know you're in-house. Is freelance life possible when you work for Disney as an editor?
I don't think so. No, I kind of asked about that in the beginning, the possibility of working from home or that sort of thing, but they want you there. As a storyboard artist, are there things you can work from home, but you're working with the actual footage and they will not let that out of house. There is no way they're going to let that travel through the vast internets because it could be stolen and then they'd lose their money.
Makes sense. So you came in on what are the hours like? So you were, Mark, you were explaining the hours for freelancers and yourself. And then if you want to both talk about your hours, what's kind of a day in the life of?
Well, I've worked on two different productions at Disney and they were very different. The first one I was on was called Elena of Avalor, and it's kind of a spinoff of Princess Sophia, which is a huge money-making, you know, like endeavor. I worked on the first season of Elena, and we're given 9 hours a day. That's what we're paid for, 9 hours a day. And I worked 9 hours a day, if not 10, 12, 13, 14, because it was a new show and it had to be perfect. And everyone was looking at it. So working on a show that is just beginning, you're going to be tied to your desk, I think. DuckTales, and it was also kind of a younger, crazier, the producer was a little... you know, I'll say this, like, she didn't have a family, so she didn't have hours that she wanted to keep tight either. On DuckTales, everyone has a family. I have kids. We all want to go home. Like, it's very important to us. So on this show, we work 8 hours. And if I work 9 hours, whatever, once in a while, it's not a big deal. But, it's a very family friendly production. So there are people that work many more hours than I do, but I kind of had that written in, like, I can't do overtime because that's just where I am in my life. So, yeah.
Mark, what kind of hours do you
work? I work whenever I need to work. So yeah, I'm mostly at home. So, yeah, I got to set my own boundaries. Yeah. As long as you knock it out of the park every time, then yeah, it's very flexible.
See, if you could describe, like, kind of a day in the life. We always have this question, like, what exactly do you find yourself doing all day? So, like, email versus, you know, editing versus pulling footage in.
I usually wake up and see if there's any emergencies. If there's anything on fire, then I need to address that quickly. I just start my day. A lot of the times, at least what I do, I like have to wait on people to get back to me. If I send off a cut or if I have to ask for something or just anything. So I'll usually try and get a early start so that when people get to work, we actually like have to like work in an office. They like when they get to work, they actually have something to look at or respond to. And then once I get feedback, then I do the feedback. I send that off. I try to do as much as I can, get as much stuff in front of them as I can while there at work, because my work isn't home, so I'm always there. Yeah, that's about it.
I end up actually working on projects. I've done freelance, and I know so much of it is like, yes, it's like waiting for the response so you can make the changes and that sort of mm-hmm. thing. And
wait an hour for 5 minutes.
Exactly.
And then, yeah.
Yeah, and then make sure you get it out as soon as possible.
As soon as possible.
This is just very like I'm on schedule. I have meetings set, so I'm either working by myself in a dark room, which I love, or I'm sitting with the director or the supervising the EPs or whatever. So it's a lot of time by myself, like actually sitting at a computer making decisions, like cut, 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 adding sounds and, you know, creating this little thing that's going to end up being a full piece of animation. I'm not a meetings person, and I'm glad I don't have to sit in meetings. I get really frustrated. I'd rather just have someone send me notes and that sort of thing, which I imagine you're the same way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
do you get people that email you notes and then call you and tell you, read you the notes?
Oh my gosh. No, not in this job, but
okay. Yeah,
that just makes me like, yeah, I'm sure. Right.
Yeah.
No, there are people who love to do that in production. They love to like, cause it's exciting. I'm sure it's the same in any office, you know?
Thank you. So now to pause, any audience questions as of right now? All right.
Mark, well, thank you both for being here first. But Mark, how did the name or who did it come from, Don't Panic, come about?
Well, it's my last name. Panic's my last name. And then Don't Panic is from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So everyone would always ask, like, when growing up, everyone would always ask, like, is your middle name Don't? Get it, Mark, Don't Panic, get it? And like, yeah, I get it. Like, everyone makes that joke. So I figured I had to use it in some way.
Nice. Okay. And what kinds of things might be on fire when you wake up in the morning?
Usually it's deadlines change or expectations change. You know, hey, we gave you 2 weeks to do this, and there's some meeting with somebody and we need to show something in like 20 minutes, you know. Something like that, hypothetically, of course.
Thank you. Question for Barbara. When it comes to editing, is it always Final Cut or is it Avid? Or I'm just curious, if we're going to get trained, what we should learn?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Actually, I started in Premiere when my very first job. That was switched over to Final Cut. But now Final Cut is no longer being supported. It's now Final Cut X or whatever. There was a professional version of Final Cut, when I was looking to restart my career, it's expensive to train yourself. So there are resources, at least for Final Cut, there are resources, classes that are subsidized that you can go and get certified through Apple for. As I said, though, Final Cut is now obsolete, so don't bother learning it. You would be learning Premiere. I mean, the version of Final Cut that you have is the consumer version on your that comes with your Mac, right?
Well, my father had 7.
Right. That's what I use. I mean, that's what I use at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'd be getting Premiere or Avid. Avid is, I think that's a pretty cost prohibitive option. As a student, you can get a better price on it. Do you have a Avid setup?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. I use Avid now. And I got training through, oh my gosh.
MovieAlmo?
No.
Linda?
No, those are good options though.
Okay.
It's in that park. It's a, they do
Park
a lot of,
Hill.
No, no. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking. I'll remember and I had to get subsidized training for that as well. What would you recommend?
Software?
Yeah.
I'd say Premiere. Yeah. And they're like, they're pretty similar. They're similar enough that if you learn one, you can just sort of migrate over to the other one.
And there's lots of tutorials online that if you get to know one, there's lots of tutorials online. If you get to know one of them, there'll be like the Premiere to Avid translation kind of thing. I did that for Final Cut. Like if you're a Final Cut editor, here are the specific things that you need to know. One of the most important qualities that you need to have as an editor is, quickness. You really need to be able to make decisions quickly. So if you're fumbling with buttons, it's right. I mean, you have to make a lot of decisions very quickly, especially if someone's sitting behind you. So all the hotkeys and that sort of thing, it's kind of important to know. If you're great in one program, you need to know how that translates into the other program. Does that answer your question?
Thank you. And I'm going to do a quick plug for Linda. We have it. That's one of our databases through our databases. And I can show later how you get there.
Thank you.
We'd have to look. Yeah. I don't know offhand. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, thank you. Say that out loud.
I know they teach Avid on Lynda because that's what they have us use in our editing classes, but I don't know about Premiere. I would assume they have Premiere though.
We can definitely check after. Thank you for that question. I've crossed it off. So your career is very collaborative. How do you keep your relationship strong, and do you have any pros and cons?
Do you want to?
No, go for it.
Okay. Relationships?
Well, because it's very collaborative.
Oh.
Do you have to be, it's kind of an introvert, extrovert. Can you be an introvert or do you always have to be an extrovert?
Oh, well, I am definitely an introvert. There's no two ways about it. I can leave that realm when I'm talking about work and I get excited talking about work and that sort of thing. So I think it's a great job for an introvert. And I'm sure many people flock to it, many introverts. As I said, you spend a lot of time alone. The people that I interact with are mainly the director. And I've had many different experiences with working with directors. Some of them, this is a really hard lesson. This lesson took me a long time to learn. But when you're in an editing bay, it's about the hang as much as it is about your skills. So the person that's sitting behind you, you have to get along with that person or they will not want to work with you anymore. Some people just come to escape whatever they're supposed to be doing at their desk and they don't want to leave your office. So you guys have to be able to talk. I've had some really, really boring conversations with people and I could not get them out of my office. That was our relationship, but you know, but ideally you work with somebody like now I work with one person in particular and, we get along really well. We had to figure out what our senses of humor were and we had to be able to, we had to have the same aesthetic sensibilities and then just be able to communicate as human beings. Otherwise, I mean, you spend hours with this person. So you're just, if it's not enjoyable, you're going to find yourself worked out of that equation. And then you work with the EP. So the person at the very top of the food chain and you have to, I think one of the hardest things is to set your ego aside when you work with, both the director and the EP, because you may think that you have some amazing ideas, but ultimately it's not your call. These are the people that, their jobs are on the line. So they're answering to the network and people above them. So they don't really want, they don't need to please you, you know, they're not going to do anything to help you feel better about your cuts. You should go make your own films if you really want to make your own decisions. You know, hopefully you're good enough at your job that you are making your decisions are good ones that fit with a show that is not your show. It's a network show, you know? So, I think you have to be able to, be pleasant and, be open and that sort of thing. And that's how you build a relationship with these people and keep them steady.
Well, I'd just like to touch on it's like, it's collaborative. It's an art form. It's creative. It's definitely a social art form. There's more than one person, you know? So yeah, you have to get along with people. Like a lot of the times sometimes I'll do one cut or one graphic look, that they asked for. And then I'll do one that I like, or I'll do a couple and then they can just kind of multiple choice it. You know, we like this one. Usually what they do is they're like, we like this one, but we also like that. And so can you kind of mash them together, you know, but at least I get to kind of put my idea out there. Most of the time it falls flat, but sometimes they like it. And so that's awesome.
Do you find, so in the world of libraries, I was surprised how much, like you have to go to, you go to conferences, you don't have to, but you go to conferences, you go to mixers, you go to like networking events. Do you two have to do that or want to do that?
I've tried and it's never been enjoyable nor, led to any sort of work. So I stopped doing them.
Are you in the guild or the guild things? I don't ever go to the guild stuff, but, I think it's important for getting more jobs. I don't think it's once you're in on a production, I think you're good. But, I think if you had the time, it would be really smart to go learn about what else is out there and talk to more people and build a community. It sucks looking for work. It's scary. You don't find work unless you know who to ask, you know, so you're not required to, but I would say it's smart to, you're probably not going to have to hop on a plane and go to some, you know, banquet hall in Minnesota. I don't know, but like it's, yeah.
Thank you. Audience questions? Yet? Oh, yeah.
Thank you. This is a question for both of you. What advice do you have for a beginner putting a reel together?
I brought a reel that I really like. It's old. It's the resolution. It's standard def. It's old and like pixely, but I love it still because I remember that's what I cut together when I was desperate for work and it's stuff I'd worked on, but I recut it to music and I had a lot of fun with it and I got jobs off of it because the music is interesting. If people found it interesting, what I did with the footage was interesting. If you don't have footage to cut together, I would recommend cutting. I don't know what you would say, but I would recommend cutting other footage together and just, you know, showing what you know about pacing and timing and style and sensibility. Yeah.
I would say whatever you work on, just save a copy of, no matter how good or bad it was. I have lots of stuff that I still have copies of that are that's terrible that I will never show any of you. Mm-hmm. But you have to start somewhere, you know, so save everything.
Would you like to show your clip?
Well, I mean, I'm sure everyone's
going to see it now that I've sold it. I have it ready.
te à mes côtés. J'ai pas su la retenir.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Any questions? Should I move on with my, I think you had a, did you have a question? No. Okay. Yes.
How long should a reel be?
How long should a reel be?
Did that feel too long?
No.
However long it needs to be.
Not too, like a trailer. Like, think like a trailer. So like a minute, 2 minutes maybe?
Yeah.
And when you're looking for work, do you see like posting? Do you send your reel out? How do you look for, like, what areas can you look for work at?
I'm usually get a repeat business, which is the best kind because you don't have to go look for it. But yeah, some job postings, there's groups on Facebook, there's groups on LinkedIn that people will, you know, you can meet people or people will post a project or ask a question about something. You just got to start somewhere.
Yeah, I found listings on Craigslist. There are Facebook groups now. This is like, they're very comprehensive Facebook groups for Avid editors in particular or, yeah, I don't know. I'm in the Editors Guild now, and I've never looked for a posting through them, but I don't know. I think there are postings there. Word of mouth is great. That's where most of my jobs have come from. I was very unhappy at a job and I quit, which I've never done before. And within a week I was hired at Disney simply because a director liked working with me at another company and brought me on and insisted he work with me. So I really can't stress enough like how much relationships are important. But before then I would say just look for listings, do work for free, which sucks, but you need a reel and you need to know people. Don't get taken advantage of, but yeah.
Thank you. Yes.
So you both know the industry. I'm a screenwriter, but I lack connections. So do you have any advice how to get some screenplays off the ground?
Screenplays?
Ooh, shift of topic.
Write a good script?
I have scripts, but they say they won't talk to you. They go, who do you know? And if I don't know anybody, they won't even listen to a 1 minute.
Most places won't accept anything unsolicited.
Right.
So you need some type of representation. You can, if you just blind submit things, nobody will look at them just for legal reasons and so forth. It's kind of like the catch 22. It's like the union thing is a great question. How do I get into the union? We got to work on union shows. How do I work on union shows? Well, you got to be in the union. And it's just a,
and as an aside, one of our career conversation speakers for theater, he's a playwright, but he also writes screenplays for TV shows. So you may want to come back and ask.
Okay, that's August.
I would also say that there's so much now, you can create your own content so easily. There's no excuse not to. You can shoot a film on your phone. Just make sure the sound is good. That's what I would say. Otherwise, no one will watch it at all, ever. But you know, you could make a short film. You know, you find a crew on Craigslist. Features made by friends of mine have been created through a Craigslist, you know, posting. And you need to know what you're doing, and you need to convince other people to work with you. But is one screenplay, can you boil it down to 5 minutes and make that for, you know, $1,000 or whatever? It really is up to you to use your imagination. And executives are terrified of losing their jobs more now than ever, because all that's making money are really blockbusters. There's a lot of new media and that sort of thing, but it's really up to you to create it and convince other people that you have something special. So I would never give up hope, because I'm saying this like coming from when you could only shoot on film, it would cost you a crazy amount of money. You'd need a cinematographer who was so adept at what they did. That's not the truth anymore. You know, it's amazing what you can do just by yourself. So
thank you. What is the employment outlook for this career field, and how much demand is there for entry-level job seekers?
I'd say that you're kind of always looking for a job.
because everything's so project based, you know, like when one ends, I don't want to wait, like personally, I don't want to wait till one ends before I start looking for the next one. So you kind of have to just constantly be drumming up business and talking with people, taking meetings, sending things out, posting things on online. You know, it's just kind of a, after a while, it just kind of becomes a constant thing. So you're just kind of always doing it. That's just me.
I would say for entry level, you're probably going to start as a PA. You know, you're going to do something that has nothing to do with editing. It's going to be low wages for long hours, and it's not going to look anything like what you think editing looks like. And it's not anything like editing, but you are just learning the production pipeline. Yeah, I'm not even sure that education is that important anymore. I think it's just getting your foot in the door. And I think in animation editing, people are still trying to figure out what we do. You know, like the guild had no idea that I was called an animatic operator at one of my jobs so that they could pay me way less. But that's like the equivalent of like, that makes me think of pushing a button and creating this thing. And that's basically how we were seen by the studio. We had to fight to get in the guild. And this is to answer that question. Like we had to have a mediation with the guild to convince them that we were actual artists. Now there is, but what I did, like doing the front end of animation, we were not considered editors. We were considered operators or whatever. So there's actually what I did, as I said earlier, it's a niche job. If you can get in there, you figure out how to do this job and get in there, you're set, because no one's teaching how to do this. So it's really, you're creating your own path, I guess, but.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah.
Thank you.
What is the job if you can?
Oh, right. Okay.
That's how niche it is.
Right. Yeah. For animation, like editing, you're given footage and you cut it together. Animation, you're creating the blueprint with the sound and picture that is then sent off to be animated. And then it's animated usually overseas with the color. It's what you see on television. It comes back and then you further work with it. It's totally different than live action in that respect. So you're taking still images that someone's drawn, and you connect, you know, you connect it with the dialogue and you create sound effects and you create the timing for this. So when someone who's never met you, never talked to you about your ideas, sees this, you know, in another country, they know what you're going for, and they create this very, complicated, animation based on what you've done. So it doesn't look like anything that you'll end up seeing, but it's, required in order to create that. That's an answer, is it? Oh, I mean, it's done, like we use Storyboard Pro now to do it. It's been done in Photoshop before. It's gone through, as digital has become prevalent. It used to be just, we would take photographs of still drawings and put them in a timeline. But now it's created in Storyboard Pro. That's a program that's used, and then output to us. And so are you, do you work with a program or?
All the Adobe suite.
Okay.
Fascinating.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't think it's taught really. Like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I've looked for tutorials in the past when I was trying to get a leg up, and I really couldn't find anything. But hopefully, that's changing. Yeah.
We have a few minutes left. Does anyone have any last questions? Yes.
When you guys are editing your reels, how exactly do you choose your footage or what to put in there? Do you just pick like your favorite things, or is there a specific thing, like a specific mood that you're going for? Or
for my reel, I was really at the music inspired me first. I needed to find something that I wanted to spend, you know, weeks listening to again and again and again. I think you kind of have to love, you know, something about it as you're beginning, you know. You have to. Yeah, so for me, it was the music. And then I just tried, you know, I just experimented with rhythm, with, you know, sometimes I'd even cut in or cut out. I'd create a camera move within a still image. You know, I just, I wanted something that the minute someone pushes play, they have to be hooked, or the second. So I just, you know, I kind of went off of that. You know, what's a flashy image, and what does it look fun next to? What makes me laugh? That's always my go-to. What do I find like funny and whimsical, and you know, I didn't, and how many shows have I worked on? Like, you know, someone might look at that and go, oh, I know that show. Like, I know someone who worked on that show. I can ask them about her, or, you know, that brings back a good memory of it. You know, I've seen that show. I've worked on that show. I know someone who's worked on that show. That sort of thing. So it's like conversation starter, content as well. But I would say in general, like you have to feel it. You have to feel that it's interesting to you. What interests you? Because ultimately, like the last job I got hired for, they asked me, what movies do you like? What makes you laugh? What's your, you know, how do you spend your free time? Those kind of questions. If that can be reflected, that aesthetic or those preferences or, you know, can be reflected in your reel, I think you've done a good job.
Oh, do you want to answer the... Yeah. Oh, go ahead and follow up first and then we'll get the question.
Okay.
Oh, no, Mark. Yeah.
Oh, no, I was asking.
So based on your personalities or the things you do can help you on your work or on your what you do in your animations or illustrations, your career basically.
Say that once more again.
Do your interests or things you're passionate about help you in your career?
Yes, I will say that 100%. And actually I have a really good example of that. When I'm not animating, I don't do this anymore, but I used to be a Mexican wrestler. I know that sounds totally left field, right? I was a Mexican wrestler for 10 years. Seriously. People have hired me because of that. That has nothing to do with animation or my skills at sitting at a desk. It is something interesting that they can talk to me about. So I would also say have a life outside of what you do. Your personality is very important, and what you've accomplished outside of animation. I see this a lot also in the acting world, which is entertainment. It's related. A casting director wants to know who you are as a person. Like, they don't want to know about your last acting job because you're here for a new acting job, right? It's the same. This is very prevalent, so I mention it in the world of acting. Less so in editing because you need to have a very specific technical skill, but it's so crucial to be a well-rounded human being, you know? And so if you can have something like, I have Mexican wrestling in my past, if I can talk about that, suddenly we have an animated discussion. I'm smiling, they're smiling, you know, it's a good vibe in the room, that type of thing. So I would say 100%. Yes. So even if you don't have the technical skills yet, don't lose hope, you know, because you're a good person, you're an interesting person, and you have, you know, you're a fun person, all that sort of stuff. And that's worth a lot, I think.
I think the advice is start Mexican wrestling.
We all want to know more now.
Yeah. But it's like, but you know what? That's like a great point, because it's like super memorable. Like, they might even forget your name, but they're like, well, remember the woman we had that was the Mexican wrestler? Let's bring her back. You know, like, yeah.
So true. Okay, last question.
Well, this is a side topic, but do you ever want to make your own movie about Mexican wrestling from a woman's point of view?
Indeed, yes. And I admire you for writing many screenplays, because I cannot sit down and write for more than an hour without getting up and, you know, running around. I've been in other people's movies about wrestling. I have made a bunch of little short films, which I also can't recommend highly enough as an editor, to make your own films and edit those films, because that will be the most interesting thing you've ever worked on, is your own product. And you'll be making decisions for yourself. You'll be making the best decisions of your life because it's your film, you know, and those decisions will stick with you, and you'll also have stuff for a reel eventually. So yeah.
Okay. So based on, you make your reel, you're putting your work out there, how do you get feedbacks if you're not getting hired? I'm just thinking in the future, because you don't want to just keep putting your stuff out there not knowing that your material might be the problem.
This town is the I would say the industry here is entertainment, right? Like, everybody works in entertainment here. You would be hard pressed not to be able to find a mentor. I think a lot of people are very willing to share their time, because nobody got to where they were without being helped. So go on LinkedIn, find someone who works in the industry you want, just introduce yourself, offer something to them. Don't ask them for feedback immediately. Say like, take the time to research them, see what they've done. Do you like it? Do you truly like it? Do you want to work with that person? Send them an email, try and make a connection, say what, like, how can I support you? You know, even though you're starting out, what can I do for you? And then, you know, build a relationship, ask for feedback for your stuff. You know, I never could believe, being an introvert, I could never believe, and being so shy, that anyone would want to help me. But I was going about it the wrong way. I was like, what can they give me? You know, but I didn't also value myself enough to think that I could offer help to somebody else, but you can, you can do anything to help somebody. People are so busy, and you know, I would, yeah. So just know that you have value as a person, and you know, you could be, who knows where your career is going. You know, people want to be nice to the people below them as well, because that's just the way this industry works. You know, you start off on the bottom, and you could, in a year, you could be really far up, you know, so make personal connections. And we're just surrounded by entertainment. So even if it's not an editor, if it's a screenwriter, everyone thinks, and to a certain extent does have some, you know, understanding of how film works. So even if it's not an editor, they probably have some good feedback for you.
Thank you so much. I'm going to end on a light question. Do you have a favorite TV show or movie that you think is very well edited, other than your own?
Oh my gosh.
I've been watching New Girl. It's a couple of years out now, but like the comedy timing in it is like super funny. It's like, it's spot on. It's like, it's well written, it's well acted, and like well cut. Like all the comedic timings are like right where they want to be.
I don't have an answer to that question. I really should, but I will tell this other story. I was watching 50 Shades of Grey in the theater. I don't know why. I thought it would be funny. It wasn't. But I did notice that it was really well cut together. It flowed, like, for such a stupid story, some questionable acting. I looked at the credits. The woman who edited it, she edited Lawrence of Arabia. So I thought that was so interesting that, like, and she's someone I know, like, tangentially. So all I can picture is, like, what is her story? Probably the director, somebody on the crew, you know, high up in production, was like, we need you to save this film. Will you please come on? I'm sure she never told anyone about it. You know, it's like, I had to dig into her to find out. I've never read an article that she's written about it. But that is an example of how editing can save what might have been a real dumpster fire.
Thank you so much. Thank you both so much for giving up some Saturday to be with us here. And the recording is good to stop. Thank you.